wise up about relationships. What is a real friend? I mean, what is a real friend? Well, the Bible in the book of Proverbs specifically answers that question. In fact, 24 times in the book of Proverbs, it uses the word friend. It uses the word friend. And this book of the Bible, the book of Proverbs, tells us a whole lot about friendship. And today we're going to talk about that. We're going to identify six qualities of a true friend, six qualities of a real friend as revealed to us in the book of Proverbs. So thank you for being here. Please take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, Proverbs 13, verse 20. And also in your program is a study guide of our message for today. Please use that because I will constantly be referring to it and you'll get a whole lot more out of the message if you will use it. Well, thank you for being here today as we continue this study called Wise Up. And today we're going to be talking about something really, really important. This is an important topic, and that is relationships. I mean, life is basically made up of what? Relationships. And if you are a fool, which is the opposite of being wise, if you're a fool when it comes to relationships, you're going to have lots of problems. You're going to have lots of pain in your life. And Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, understood that. And that's why God used him to describe for us what it is to be wise about relationships, what it is to be a friend, what it is to have friends. I mean, what are the qualities that we ought to exemplify in our lives? What qualities should the people that we bring into our lives as friends have in their lives? All this is answered here in the book of Proverbs. Now, let's begin in our introduction where I write this: wise up and live well. I mean, that's what this whole spiritual growth campaign is about. It's about helping you to wise up so in the end you will be able to live well. You will be able to live well. We want to improve the quality of your life. We want to help you to live a wise life. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 4, 7, and 8, and I want us to read this out loud together. So if you'll look there on the front of your study guide, right there at the top, Proverbs 7 and 8. Let's say that together, real loud and real clear. Here we go. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. Wow, what an important phrase here, okay? Wisdom is the principal thing. I mean, this series is hitting the bullseye. I mean, this series is focusing on the very core of life. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. And what is wisdom? There it is, right down below there. Wisdom is discerning and doing the will of God. The principal thing of your life is to discern God's will and to do God's will. That is the principal thing of life, for you to discern God's will in your life and for you to do God's will in your life. And the Bible says to have this in your life, to have wisdom, you have to get it. Please, I'm telling you, you got to understand there's a price to be paid to be wise. Now, to be a fool, you don't have to do anything. Okay. Okay. Just a fool is a fool. Okay. You just be natural, be, you know, who you are apart from God or whatever, and you will be a fool. Okay. And it's not easy. It's easy to do. It's hard to live that way. Okay. But if you want to be wise, you got to do something. There's a price to pay. It's not just going to happen automatically. You have to get it. Understand that? You have to get it. Today you're going to learn about relationships. You're going to hear a great message, okay, on relationships. You came here. Good job, okay? You came to get some wisdom, okay? Give yourself a hand for that. You came to get yourself some wisdom. All right, good job, okay? Good job. Way to go, okay? That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Many of you did the growth guide this week. You knew you had to get wisdom, so you did that. Many of you have either reviewed or even memorized the key verse this week because you knew you had to get wisdom. OK, Okay, many of you will go and sit down with some other wisdom seekers in a small group because you know you got to go get some wisdom. You got to go get some wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing, and you got to go get it. Okay, it's not just going to happen. It's not just going to happen. And the Bible says if you will exalt wisdom and you will embrace wisdom, guess what happens? You get what? Promotion, and you get honor. She, meaning wisdom, will promote you. She, meaning wisdom, will bring you what? Honor. I mean, wisdom provides for you God's promotion. Wisdom provides for you God's honor. Isn't that awesome? That is a wonderful thing to be able to enjoy in your life. So wise up and guess what? Live well. Now, this teaching series is based on the book of Proverbs. Three things you need to know about Proverbs. Number one, the theme of Proverbs is wisdom. That's what this book is all about. That's the theme. It's mentioned dozens of times, covering all the basic areas of life. Number two, the writer of Proverbs is Solomon. He's the primary writer. There were a few other contributors, but most of the book is written by Solomon. He was the wisest person to ever live. And then the nature of Proverbs is pithy, pithy. They are short and concise statements of truth. And you're going to see this big time today. You know, last week was a little bit different. We talked about sex. And sex is different in Proverbs in that there are some passages that are running passages, meaning there's, you know, verse after verse after verse in a row that talk about sex. Okay, there is no passage like that in Proverbs about relationships. And that is the norm. Okay, what we're going to have to do is what I've done is I've gotten all 24 of these passages. And I had them all laid out in front of me, okay? And I spent lots of times praying about them, thinking about them, looking at them, okay? And they were scattered all over Proverbs. These little pithy statement here, pithy statement there, okay? Looking for wisdom when it comes to relationships. That's the norm. That's why you, when you're reading through Proverbs, you'll hit one verse, it'll talk about work. You go down to the next verse, it talks about something else, you know. And then your mind's like, what happened? Well, that's the nature of Proverbs. There are these pithy statements. That is the nature. So the theme of Proverbs is wisdom. The writer of Proverbs is Solomon. The nature of Proverbs is pithy. Let's say those three things out loud together. Here we go. The theme of Proverbs is wisdom. The writer of Proverbs is Solomon. And the nature of Proverbs is pithy. Now, today we're going to talk about wise up about relationships. And as I said, what we're going to primarily do is we're going to be looking at these 24 times the word friend is used in Proverbs. Now, we're not going to get to all 24, but we'll probably by the end of next week's message. Next week, we're going to talk about money, money. And let me just tell you something. The Bible says quite a bit here in Proverbs about, listen, about relationships and money. Okay. And so next week, I'm going to throw out some more friendship verses, but they're pretty much related to money. It should be interesting to find out what it says about friends and money, okay? And maybe have some experience as we talk about that topic next week. So pretty much between today and next week, I think it's fair to say we're going to hit all 24 of these, okay? That may not be 100% true, but I think it's pretty close, okay? But today we're going to focus on the majority of them as we identify these qualities, six qualities of friendship. Proverbs 13:20, it's our key verse, hopefully a memory verse for you. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Now, what you need to understand about this verse is dealing with what I think is the most powerful law in the world. The most powerful law in the world, in my humble opinion, is the law of sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping. Galatians 6, 7, 8 and 9 says, God is not mocked. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, whatever he sows, that he shall also reap. And if you sow to your flesh, you're going to reap corruption. And if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life everlasting. And I love verse 9, don't grow weary in well-doing. Because in due season, you shall reap if you do not faint. It's the most powerful law in the world. And if you get it going for you, it will lead you to the most wonderful life in the world. And if you violate it, it will eat your lunch, okay? It will totally eat your lunch. Whatever you sow, you reap. This verse is taking that law and applying it to relationships. And it's saying that if you walk with wise men, you will be wise. If you sow walking with wise men, I think it's important to notice that word walk. See, there's certain relationships in life that come through circumstances, not through choice. For example, work. Work. Okay, most of us here did not choose who we were going to work with, okay? That happened through a circumstance. We got a job, and it just so happens this is going to be my boss, these are going to be my coworkers, this is, you know, where I do my job. Okay, you didn't get to choose that. Okay, you didn't get to choose that. That just happened because God chose it for you, in a sense God put you in that circumstance. But you do have a choice when it comes to outside of that who you're going to walk with, who you're going to do life with, who you're going to do life with. And the Bible says if you choose to walk with wise men, you're going to be wise. You're going to be wise. Again, you got to get wisdom. And part of getting wisdom is to surround yourself with other wisdom seekers. I mean, this is why I'm encouraging you to get in a small group. I want to say more about that a little bit later, okay? Then the Bible says if you want to hang out with a bunch of fools, you're going to be destroyed. You're going to be destroyed. If you hang out with a companion of fools, now fools are just the opposite of wise people. Okay, wise people want to discern and do the will of God. Fools have no regard for the will of God. They want to do their own will. They want to do their own thing. They don't care about God. You know, a wise person, they're always thinking about eternity. They're always thinking about standing before God and having to give an account for their life and making sure they do the will of God. The fool has no regard for the will of God. They don't care about thinking about standing before God. They're all about today and living for today. And if it feels good, do it. And all that whole philosophy of secular humanism, which has permeated our culture so much. But understand, if you choose to walk with that group, you're going to destroy your life, okay? You're going to destroy your life. So it's very important that you know who to look for in your life. Who are you going to bring into the core of your life? Who are you going to surround yourself with? And the good news is Proverbs in detail describes the kinds of wise people that you want to bring in your life. That's the good news. Okay, I've identified six qualities. Let's go to page 2 of our notes if you didn't already turn there. And let's look at this, okay? Now, when you think about these qualities, I'm not going to keep saying it over and over again, but I want you to think like this. You gotta be it and you gotta find it, okay? Or you know, you gotta be on the giving end and the receiving end of this. Okay, so when I think about these qualities and I talk about these qualities, think about yourself first. Think about yourself first and whether or not you have these qualities. And then think about the people in your life, particularly the people you're walking with in life. Do they have these qualities? Okay, so again, I'm not every time going to be able to say both sides, but I'm telling you, think both sides. All right? Do I have this in my own life? And do the people I'm walking with in life have that in their lives? Okay, so let's go. Okay. Here we go. These 24 times the word friend is used in the Bible. And what does it say about the qualities to look for in relationships? First of all, is caring. Caring. The Bible describes the fact that when it comes to relationships, that caring is very, very important. In fact, the Bible says here, you must be friendly to have wise relationships. You must be friendly to have wise relationships. The Bible is very clear in Proverbs 18:24. It says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. A man who has friends, circle the word must himself be friendly. The Bible says if you're going to have friends, you have got to be friendly. Notice the word must. You must be friendly. It's not an option. Okay, it's not an option. If you want to have the right kinds of people in your life, you have got to be friendly. You've got to show yourself to be friendly. One way you do that in our church, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, is to get into a small group. Okay. You know, one of the ways that you exemplify you are friendly at Capital Baptist Church is that you get into a small group. You see, worship is wonderful. Worship is one of the five habits of a growing Christian, and I think it's fantastic, okay? But one thing about worship is this. You are probably going to build a pretty strong relationship with God, and you might even build a strong relationship with me or the musicians or whatever. But your relationship with each other in this part of your life, your worship life, is going to be limited. Because this is not an environment for dealing with deep relationships. In this room and in the lobby and things like that, we can build some superficial relationships. We can kind of get to know each other. You know, we may sit in the same place and we kind of know who sits in that area or whatever. But you're never going to have the kinds of relationships, the wise relationships you need until you connect with some other fellow wisdom seekers where you get into a small group. And in doing so, you are showing yourself to be friendly. You're showing yourself to be friendly because these are the environment that we have called small groups where, number one, people know your name and people know your needs. People know your name and people know your needs. It's where you do life together, where you support each other, okay? Where you go through life together, where you share life together. And honestly, if you say our church is not a friendly church, okay, and all you do is come to a worship service, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be nice because I'm such a nice guy, okay? But I'm going to be blunt with you. I'm not going to respect anything you say, okay? Because this is not an environment for that, okay? Yes, it can be superficial. We can smile at each other. We can do all that stuff. But that's not a friendly church, okay? A friendly church is where people know your name. People know your needs. You support each other. You're there to help each other. And the bottom line is, you need to get connected in a small group. And if you're not in a small group, we want to help you do that in the lobby today. Philippians 2:4 says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. That's friendliness. It's where you're not just looking out for yourself, you're looking out for other people. People that are focused primarily on themselves are not going to build wise relationships. Part of building a wise relationship is to be concerned for others, to be focused on others. What am I saying by friendliness? Friends are givers and not takers. That's really what it comes down to. Proverbs 19:22 says, what is desired in a man is kindness. Underline that. What is desired in a man is kindness. You know, we all desire to be around kindness. You know, this is a hard world out here. It's a tough place. And we need some kindness. We just need to be kind one to another. And part of that is giving. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his who? His friends. Being willing to give and to sacrifice and to support each other. It's so important. Now, you can't do this for everybody. You don't have the time, okay? You don't have the strength, but you can do this for somebody. Somebody. And if all of us do it, okay, all of us do it, and we partner together in doing it, unbelievable things can happen, okay? Unbelievable things can happen. Think about it today, caring. Caring. How are you doing in this quality? Are you a caring person? Okay? Are the people in your life coming alongside of you and caring for you? These are wise people that have these kinds of relationships. Number two is cheerful. Cheerful. Boy, this is a big one. You must be positive to have wise relationships. I mean, how many of us get up every day and say, man, I hope I can hang out with some negative people today. Man, I am just so excited. Man, I can't wait to get out of here. I want to find the most negative people I can find, and I want to just spend the whole day with them. No, you don't, okay? No, you don't. We need to find people that are cheerful, and we ourselves need to be cheerful. The Bible says a merry heart does good like what? Medicine. But a broken spirit dries the bones. Can I tell you something? Life is hard for all of us. Do you understand that? Life is hard for all of us. You say, well, how do you know that? Because the Bible tells us so. The Bible says that we are born few days without trouble. Jesus promised us, John 16:33, in this world you shall have tribulation, okay? I mean, life is hard. Life is tough. Life is difficult. It's not easy. And a lot of things that happened to us, you know, we didn't choose them, okay? We didn't choose them. But guess what we can choose? We can choose our response to those things. And I think so many times people with victim mentalities go through life thinking, woe is me, and nobody's got problems like I got problems. And because people don't whine about it all the time, yes, I use the word whine, so write something on your connection card for me or whatever, okay? Whatever you want to do, okay? Because they don't whine about it all the time. We're just assuming everything's good to go for them. No, it's not, okay? I could stand up here and tell you all kinds of crud that happened to me this week, okay? But I'm going to choose not to focus on that, okay? I'm going to choose not to focus on it. And we have to make that choice. Because here's what people need. 2 Timothy 1:16. People need people like this guy, Onesiphorus, his family. It says, the Lord grant mercy to the household, which is the family of Onesiphorus. And I love this. Underline this. For he often refreshed me. He often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. I mean, here's Paul. 2 Timothy is the last book he would write. This is the last book. 2 Timothy is the last book of the Bible Paul would write. He is no doubt very close to death. Who does he have on his mind? Okay, notice I said who. I didn't say what. I said who. Okay, when you come to the end of your life, you're not going to be thinking about projects. You're going to be thinking about people. Okay, you're not going to be thinking about projects. You're going to be thinking about people. And here he is at the end of his life. He knows he's in prison. He knows they're going to take his life. They're going to behead him. And probably very, very soon. And he's got this whole Rolodex of people rolling through his mind. That's what's so good about 2 Timothy. And he thinks about this Onesiphorus. And he thinks, man, that Onesiphorus was something, okay? This is somebody I look forward to meeting in heaven, okay? Onesiphorus. Don't know much about him, okay, except this here. But boy, he had a positive attitude. And when he came around Paul says he was refreshed. Do you have people in your life like that refresh you? They refresh you. You get around them and they breathe life into you. They breathe encouragement into you. And do you do the same for other people? Yeah. That's called being positive. That's called being positive. We need these kinds of people in our lives to refresh us. You know, one of the things that because I tend to be, I lean more towards negative. Okay, what I mean by that, I'm very hard on myself. I'm a high D. I'm very demanding of myself. When I don't do things right, I get very upset with myself. Okay? And I can be like that with other people. And I have to work hard at being positive. I do, okay? I'm much easier pointing out something wrong than something right, okay? But one of the little techniques that I've tried to learn to help me is I started seeing that things would go through my mind that were positive about somebody. I would see somebody doing something, and I would think in my mind, that's really good. But then I would just keep it in my mind. Are you like that? And so what I've learned to do is to try to discipline myself. If something positive comes across my mind, I just speak it. I just let it out there, okay? Just say it. Early service walked by, and Dirk Lieb and Larry Snyder were out there standing with each other. Man, both of them, they look sharp, man, okay? I mean, they were dressed nice, okay? And I said, boy, you guys look handsome, okay? Now, I'm straight. Keep that in mind, okay? But I'm not kidding you, man. I said, you dudes look really sharp today. Then I went on in the bathroom or whatever, okay? I mean, you know, it went through my mind, so guess what I did? I just said it. And I don't know if that meant anything to them or not, okay? But, you know, but I just want to let them know, man, I noticed. You know, just the little things we do can make such a big difference. Notice. Just notice. Here's a big one for being cheerful and positive. Friends get excited about your successes. Friends get excited about your successes. Proverbs 27:2 says, let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. You see, there's two sides to this. Side one is be humble. Don't brag. Okay, that's side one. Okay. But side two is equally important, and that is other people should be bragging on you. Got it? Let another man praise you, not your own mouth. I got somebody I want to praise today. They're called veterans. This is Veterans Day weekend. Okay, tomorrow's Veterans Day. Okay, I want all the, if you're serving or have served, I want you to stand up. Okay, if you are serving or you have served, stand right up. Okay, let's give them a hand. Okay. Stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up. Good job. Thank you for your service. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay? Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much for your service. Seriously, you know. Thank you. We praise you for your sacrifice. We thank you for that. Let people know you're praying, right? You know, one thing on Facebook, a lot of people that serve, they put their picture on there, their military picture. Why do you think they're doing that? They're proud of their service. Why don't you let them know you appreciate them? Amen. You know, they switched that whole picture up so that you'd say something nice about them, okay? You know? And you can have your man, oh, they're bragging. I'm going to keep them humble. I'm not liking that or whatever. Or you can say, hey, thanks a lot. Thanks for your service. And give them a little hit on the like button there, okay? Let another man praise you. Not your own mouth. Not your own mouth. Wow. Good stuff. Number three, confidential. Confidential. I found it interesting that Psychology Today, which I'm not the biggest fan of, they did a survey of 40,000 people. And they found in their survey that the number one attribute people were looking for in a friend was the ability to keep a confidence. The ability to keep a confidence. And Solomon thought a lot about that. The Bible says you must be trustworthy to have wise relationships. You must be trustworthy to have wise relationships. Proverbs 11:13 says a talebearer. Now, who's a talebearer? That's a gossiper. A gossiper revealeth secrets. See, when people got a problem with gossip, they like to talk about it. There were these three preachers. I don't know if you heard about them. And they were good friends. And they said, you know, we ought to just go away sometime and let's tell each other our number one sin so that we can, you know, talk about this. Okay. And so they decided to do that. So they went away. They went on this retreat. They got there and they got in a circle and they said, okay, who wants to go first? This first preacher goes, I'll go first. My biggest sin is lust. Man, I have a really big problem with lust. Man, I have a problem with women and everything else, you know. Guys, pray for me. Next preacher goes around and says, okay, I'll tell you mine. Mine is envy and covetousness. I mean, I see people in my congregation and good things are happening for them and they get things and I'm wanting that and I'm desiring that. And I'm just really struggling with that. Okay. The third guy says, okay, I'll go ahead and tell you mine. Mine's gossip. Okay. My biggest problem is gossip. And I cannot wait to get back, okay, to your church, okay, to tell them about your problem with lust and your problem with envy and covetousness. Well, there's a lot of truth to that, isn't it? A gossiper reveals secrets. If I want to get something out of the church, I don't need to send out an email. Three or four of you, I'll just give you the information, okay? Because you got a big mouth, okay? I'm not going to look at anybody, okay? The Bible says, he who is faithful, Spirit, concealeth matters. I mean, when somebody tells you something, it needs to be locked in a vault, okay? I mean, that's what the Bible says. And the Bible says, when you're not that way, what happens is, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer, a gossiper, separates the best of friends. I mean, how many friendships have you lost because you could not keep a confidence? You could not keep a secret. It separates friends. It ends really. People need to be able to trust you. I mean, I highly value this as a pastor, okay? The things that I know that I will take to my grave are in the thousands, okay? People quite often will go up to my wife and start talking to my wife. And just assuming I talk to my wife about your business, okay? I don't talk to my wife about your business, okay? Number one, I don't want to spend time talking to my wife about your business, okay? And number two, it's none of her business. It's none of her business, okay? So if you want to tell her, sometimes it works the opposite way. People get upset with me that I didn't tell my wife. Okay, if you want to tell my wife, go tell my wife. Okay? Praise God. Let's move on, okay? See, friends don't rub it in, they rub it out. A lot of times the problem is an issue of a broken relationship. And a lot of times our confidences are broken with our friends because we get in a conflict. Can I tell you, it's impossible to have close relationships with depraved humans, which we all are, without at times hurting each other and offending each other and messing up. You understand that? We are going to mess up. We are going to do wrong. We are going to sin. We are going to let each other down, okay? And a friend, it says, covers a transgression because they are seeking love. What do you cover it with? It's called forgiveness. But listen, but he who repeats a matter, again, they separate friends. You know, I want to tell you what this person did to me. I want to tell you what that person did to me. And they didn't speak to me. And they said this to me. And they said they'd do this. And they did that. And they did this sin. And they did, you know, whatever, okay? What happens, you start repeating the matter, it separates friends. Hatred stirs up strife, but here again, love covers all sins. Love covers all sins. Confidential, how you doing on that? Number four is candid. Candid. This is important because everybody has blind spots. You say, well, I don't have any blind spots. Well, let me tell you have a blind spot. It's that you don't know you have blind spots, okay? Everybody misses things in life. And this is why it's good to have friends that can be open with us, honest with us, and frank with us. People that can be open with us, honest with us, and frank with us. Proverbs 27:5-6 says, open rebuke is better than secret love. Carefully concealed. Pay for the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Friends follow three rules for candid communication. Okay, I'm moving fast because I got to get to the last point. Okay, we got to have a little time on that one. Okay, all these are important. Okay, Proverbs 15:23 just talks about speaking a word in due season. So, yes, be candid, but here are some guidelines. Number one, compliment in public and correct in private. Okay, yes, be candid, but the place to be candid with people is in private. Okay, just be very careful about public correction. And ladies, let you in on a secret here, okay? Let me gossip about men for a second, okay? We do not do well at all with public criticism, okay? We don't, okay? And so if we're telling a story and we say it happened on July the 2nd, okay, and it really happened on July the 8th, that's the time you need to zip your mouth up, okay? Because honestly, we didn't mean to lie. In fact, we, in our own minds, we just didn't get it quite right, okay? Now, later on, if you want to say this,
sweetheart, if you ever tell that story again, I just want you to know it was July the 8th and not July the 2nd. Well, thank you, sweetheart. Thank you so much for investing in my life in that way.
I'm not going to promise you he's going to take it very good then, okay? But I give you permission to say it then, okay? But I'm just telling you, okay, guys, you owe me, okay? I'm going to get hit hard on this one, okay? And I'm going to the mat for you guys. Hit me with a $20 bill going out the door or whatever, okay? Number two, never rebuke a person until you've proven that you are open to rebuke from them. I personally find the hardest person to deal with is the person that wants to criticize but can't be criticized. Those kinds of people, I'll be honest with you, I'm sure on my weak side, they drive me crazy, okay? Man, they can lambast you, they can criticize you, and you say one little thing, okay, and they fall apart. Okay, let's move forward. Correct people when they're up, not when they're down. Okay, number five, consistent. Consistent. You must be loyal to have wise relationships. Consistent. You must be loyal to have wise relationships. Proverbs 27:10, do not forsake. Forsake means not to turn your back on. Not to turn your back on. Do not forsake your own friend or, I love this, your father's friend. I found that very interesting. Or your father's friend. Interesting. See, friends know all about you and love you anyway. Friends know all about you and they love you anyway. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. A brother is born for adversity. A friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. I mean, you need people in your life that are going to go through the mountaintops with you. They're going to go through the valleys with you. They're going to go through the good times with you. They're going to go through the bad times with you. I mean, this is so, so important. Irma Bombeck said this. This is so good. A friend is someone who thinks you're a good egg, even though you are a little cracked. Okay, I like that. Okay. A friend is someone who thinks you're a good egg, even though you are a little cracked. Okay. I love that. Okay. Because I know I'm more than a little cracked. Okay. And I thank God for people that love me anyway. You got to be consistent. And then number six, be constructive. Be constructive. Okay, you need to walk into people's lives and you need to be encouraging and they need to do the same for you. You must be encouraging, encouraging to have wise relationships. Proverbs 27:17 says we sharpen each other through relationships. Proverbs 27:9 says ointment and perfume delight the heart. And the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight, I love this statement, by hearty counsel. Hearty counsel. Give people hearty counsel. Encouraging counsel. I mean, that's what a friend does. Hearty counsel. Speaking from the heart. Friends bring you closer to God. Probably the most important verse is this verse. The righteous should choose his friends carefully. The righteous should choose his friends carefully. For the way of the wicked leads them astray. Okay? The righteous should choose his friends carefully. Okay? You have a choice. Okay? Choose carefully. And listen, Proverbs 1 verse 10 says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. And really, today, what I want you to think about on this point is, are the core relationships you have, are they moving you in the direction God wants you to go in life? That's really something important to think about. Are the core relationships in your life moving you closer to where God wants you to go? Okay, if the answer is no, you need to really think about that, okay? You need to really consider that. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Do not consent. So here they are, folks. The wisest person who ever lived said that, listen, relationships are to be this way. Caring, cheerful, confidential, candid, consistent, and constructive. Make wisdom your life goal. Do you need to wise up about relationships? You say, boy, this has really raised some questions in my mind. I need some direction. Well, James 1 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. You're struggling here. You're wondering what to do, how to do it. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all, who gives to all. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for your word. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, let's begin with this. The Bible says there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And that friend is Jesus. That friend is Jesus. And listen, if you don't have him as your friend, you know, the Bible says he's a friend of sinners. And you know what? All of us are sinners. Every one of us has sinned against God. But Jesus is a friend of sinners. He's such an incredible friend that he left heaven and came to earth and lived a perfect, holy life, never sinning one time. And he came to be a sacrifice for your sin and for mine. And the Bible says he lived that perfect, holy life. And then he was nailed to a cross as payment for our sin. The payment for our sin was hell. And he paid the price so that we wouldn't have to go to hell. But yet the Bible says he was buried, and on the third day he rose from the grave to give us eternal life. And what the Bible says, listen, the Bible says what we need to do is we need to turn from our sin. That's called repentance. And we need to put our faith and trust in Jesus as the one and only way to heaven. And the Bible says if we will call out to God, he will save us. If we will call out to God, he will save us. And today, if you've never done that, if you've never made Jesus your friend, if you've never asked Christ to be your Savior and your Lord, I encourage you to do that right now. Just call out to him and pray and confess your sin to him, asking him to be your Savior, trusting in his sacrifice for your sin. Just talk to him from your heart to his heart about that today. And then today, I just want to ask you, are you this kind of friend? Do these qualities describe you? Is any area here that you need to focus on and try to improve? And then are you bringing around you people that are like this? Okay, and again, like attracts like in so many ways. That's not always true, but it's true most of the time. Like attracts like. And, you know, gossipers, they find each other. Man, it's amazing to me. It's like they have radar or something, okay? You know, because like attracts like. You know, godly people want to be around godly people. You know, we make these choices with each other. Positive people, man, they're drawn to positive people. They want to be around positive people. So we have to examine our lives to make sure we are these kinds of people. And look at our lives today. So I ask the Lord to direct you and lead you in these important areas. Father, we love you. We thank you for this word of God. Thank you that you didn't leave us without direction on friendship. Thank you that you gave us a book of wisdom where 24 times you described to us specifically about friends. Lord, thank you for this incredible wisdom. Lord, help us to wise up in this area so that we can live well. In Jesus' name, amen.